For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am doing, what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I used to spend quite a bit of time in nursing homes as a full-time pastor. There I moved among people, mostly in their 80s, 90s, and some in the 100s and above, who no longer had much control over their lives in the ways that most of us take for granted. In many cases, they didn't have control over their bodies. And in not a few cases, they have little control over their minds. Is this the new creation of which Isaiah speaks? For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth? So, what gives? How did the people of Jerusalem hear these words about a newly created heaven and earth and Jerusalem as an absolute delight? At the time of this particular part of Isaiah, what scholars call Third Isaiah, the people were two generations back from the return of the exiles in Babylon. So they'd been back home for about two generations. The oldest ones remembered the former glory of Jerusalem and its temple. And the rebuilt version did not measure up in their view. Much of the city was still in ruin, including homes and markets, and many people continued to suffer the effects of oppression and dislocation. Hunger, thirst, illness, early death, sorrow and grief, economic injustice, political turmoil were the realities of the day. So imagine the prophet Isaiah walking through the rubble of the city. Think of the images we see on the news of Afghanistan or of Syria, particularly Aleppo or of Haiti, and proclaiming these words from God about creating a new earth, and especially Jerusalem, as a joy. And the people look around and say, huh? What are you talking about? What Jerusalem are you talking about? That's a whole different world we don't see. How can people hope in something we can't see? Well, indeed. How do we hope in something we can't see? Well, friends, we not only can, we must. The kingdom of God is near to us at all times. It is available to us at all times. Sometimes we even notice. Richard Lisher says that Isaiah here sounds like one of those old-timey preachers who might say, it seems to me I can see. I can see a community where young people aren't cut down in the prime of their life. place where mothers don't have to fear that their babies will die of malnutrition or some easily correctable disease. I see a society in which people's labor actually comes to fruition, where workers aren't discarded like trash at a moment's notice. It seems I can see neighborhoods, not with empty houses and boarded windows, but filled with the sounds of children. That's sort of what Isaiah is saying. In the kingdom of God, in life lived in complete fullness, in the world God dreams for us, that is our reality. It's our reality as God dreams it. We're 2 weeks from the beginning of the season of Advent when we anticipate the promise of God coming among us. In Jesus Christ, my friends, God's kingdom broke into our world. Jesus showed us how we are to live together, to bring this kingdom of his life to one another. A life lived as on God's holy mountain, where we will not hurt or destroy. I was reminded of the mountains in Aslan's country in the final book of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. Any fans? Love it. The Last Battle is the last book in the series. Aslan is the great lion. That's L-I-O-N, lion. Lewis always denied that these wonderful fantasies were direct Christian allegories. He called them supposals. What do you suppose the Son of God might look like in the kingdom of Narnia, where many animals talk? Why, he would be the magnificent, golden-voiced lion, Aslan. In this final book, there's a great battle between the forces of good and evil. That is, between the forces of Aslan and the forces of Tash, a lesser god worshipped by the Calamines. The end of the battle seems to mark the end of Narnia. But as Aslan instructs King Peter to close the door on what's left of Narnia, the humans and animals turn around to find that they are in the most wonderful place, which is the true Narnia. Aslan bounds toward the mountains and invites them all to come further up, come further in. As they journey further up and further in, they realize that the Narnia they had known had a beginning and had an end. But it was only a shadow of the real Narnia, which had always been there and would always be there. I believe it's something like that for us. Through Jesus coming to us, living among us, dying a shameful and painful death, rising from that death to claim victory over death and the power of evil, we have also victory. New life is available to us through him and his inbreaking power. As I said before worship, we have become often very discouraged in this last campaign. We look around us at how people treat one another, hurting and destroying. But God continues to redeem us in Christ every day, every day. We can be signs of his inbreaking kingdom. Don't we long for the day when children don't die, when old people live strong? Of course we do. For some of us, that day will come only when we join Jesus in the perfect life of the fullness of the eternal saints. But here and now, every day, we are called by Jesus to be partners in bringing in the kingdom of God to those around us. We get glimpses of it here and now when we work for the health and well-being of God's children. God's children of every age. As a community of faith, as individual folks, when we share the good news of God's love for each person and how we live every day. To be honest, I have seen the kingdom of God breaking through in nursing homes, When we prayed together, our hearts were lifted. The power of hope gave us a glimpse of that inbreaking kingdom. We gathered at nursing homes for communion services. We sang hymns about Jesus. And hope was in the room. This morning we remember him through bread and cup, and he is present to each one of us. We all want to hear his name again and again because there's goodness in it. There's power in it. There's victory in it. We stand at the foot of God's holy mountain and we know we do not have to be afraid. Hope, yes, even victory, is ours through God who loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary,